Thank God for seeing for my wife, Brenda, being with us, and her, our two friends as a member of the church we go to as well. They are called the Three Amigos. They're close friends, Mother Bailey and Minister Jonah. And I look over to my left and see my son, John. So good to see you, John, and my daughter, Kalista, and grandbaby, Samara. I didn't want to say Samara first because I didn't want them to think I didn't come to see them as well. But we're so thankful for being here tonight. And as that song was going forth, just good to see somebody, so many here tonight. And I believe just for these first next few moments, if we would just open our hearts, open our minds, as the scripture says, let he that had ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say unto the church. And I do know without a doubt that if we begin to magnify the Lord Jesus in our lives and in our hearts, we'll begin to see God move in miraculous ways in our lives. But we got to realize that's the name we got to glorify. The book of John, reading from the first chapter, starting at the 19th verse. John 1 and 19, and it says, now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites to Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Who, are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. Then they said to him, who are you? They wanted to know who he was. That we might give an answer to those that sent us. What do you say about yourself? This is powerful when we read this because John the Baptist has a great opportunity to shine. He had a great opportunity to say, yes, I'm the one, I'm the prophet, I'm the one everybody's looking for. But John chose rather to turn the eyes of the people to the one that he was sent to magnify. He said, no, I'm not the one. They asked, well, who are you? What do you got to say about yourself? And John said this. He said, all I am is a voice. I'm just a voice that's crying in the wilderness. All I am is just a voice that's preparing the way for Jesus. And I want us to know tonight that we are in a time that we need to prepare other people's lives for Jesus. We are living in deadly and perilous times. And I don't have to ask anybody to raise their hand because I think we all can attest to that. But Jesus is the one who brings healing and deliverance in our lives. He asked you, are you the one? He said, no, I'm just here to make his path straight. And that's the purpose of the church, is to make the path straight for the one that heals, for the one that delivered. And it goes on to say in the 29th verse, he said, and the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said, behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And I want to take as a topic tonight, behold, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God. When we talk about behold, we mean to observe a thing or a person, especially an impressive person, or something that's remarkable. And I think we all can agree tonight that Jesus was a remarkable man. Jesus was the one who came to make a change in our lives. And I got news, he's the only one that can make a change in our lives. John made a bold proclamation. His proclamation was, behold the Lamb of God. And this proclamation, this was such a bold proclamation, it changed the entire course of the earth for all eternity. And this same John that came and spoke these words, behold the Lamb of God that changes the world, I want to present to you tonight that this same Lamb of God has come to make a change in your life. This same Lamb of God can make a change to change the whole course of your life forever. And if someone could change, you know, we are going through a lot of things in life, but like the brother was saying earlier, we've got to learn to get our eyes on the Lord, amen? So we got to realize that John, Jesus can make a change in our life. This same Jesus from the foundation of the world before there was a man that inherited the earth. The same Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. The same Jesus. The same Jesus, the Lamb of God, he came to set those free. To set the captives free. If you're bound by whatever you're bound by tonight, The same Jesus came to set the captives free. He came to set you free tonight. Some of you may be bound by some things tonight. You may not be in a natural prison, but you might feel like you're in a spiritual prison. You're locked up. You're locked away. You feel hopeless. There's no change, no good thing can come out of your life. You might feel like you're in a prison. You're bound right now, and you feel like there is no possible chance of parole. You feel like my life is what it is. This is just my lot in life. I just accept it, and I'll always be down and under. I'll always be down and out. But I want you to know when Jesus came, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." This Lamb of God can bring a change. He can change the course of your life this very night. If we just lift our hands to him, if we praise him and worship him, realize that Jesus, you are the Lamb of God. The same Lamb of God, as I said, he came to set the captives free. And sometimes people do feel hopeless. I'm not going to ask a show of hands, but there may be someone here tonight, you may be feeling hopeless. There may be someone here tonight, you may be feel like you're helpless. You may be feeling like, man, I've been going through so much in my life. Is there ever going to come a change? Am I ever going to see my change coming? You may feel that way tonight, but I want to encourage you tonight to behold the Lamb of God. No matter what you're going through, the same Jesus, this Lamb of God, that Bartimaeus, the man we call blind Bartimaeus, was sitting by the highway side begging. And he heard that Jesus was coming. And he cried out, "Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me." And it's amazing how that Bartimaeus was a blind man. But people began to tell him, "Be quiet. Stop calling on Jesus. We don't have time for that." And I can only imagine Bartimaeus, his response was, "I'm the one that's blind and not you. Now you got 20/20, but I'm blind." See, sometimes people be going through things and people say, "Oh, don't call on Jesus. He can't do anything for you. He can't bring you out of the situation that you're in." But I sort of noticed on the end of the night, Jesus came to set the captives free. He came to free us regardless of what you're going through. He cried out, "Have mercy on me." And he might say, "There's no need to call on Jesus." Have you ever heard that? Now, I can imagine right now if I ask you, someone would probably say, "You know, I prayed, I've tried this Jesus thing." But Jesus is not a thing that you try. He's not someone you just try, and if he works well, if he doesn't work well, that's okay. At least I tried him. They used to sing a song, "Try Jesus, and everything will be all right." But he's not for trial. We don't take him out for a test drive. Jesus wants to be a part of your life and my life. We ought to be crying out to him because he's the one who brings about a change in our life. As I studied through the book of Acts, one thing I've noticed, every time he was exalted, every time people turned their eyes and attention to him, things began to happen. Lives began to change. Yokes began to be destroyed. Why? Because they knew who to call on. As my brother was saying here, she said, "If I could just touch not the hem of Peter's garment," she wasn't concerned about Peter and anybody else's garment, "but if I can just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I know a change will come in my life." And that's what I present to you tonight. Whatever you're going through, if you can just reach out and call on him, even in the midst, if it feels like there's no change, keep calling. The enemy said, "There's no need to. You tried it and nothing happened." Keep calling. Keep crying out to him because he answers prayers. He hears every prayer. He hears us. Even as Daniel, he prayed, fasted for 21 days. And the angel came and told him that, "I heard your prayer. On the very first day you prayed, but the prince of Persia, he hindered. But nevertheless, his help came. His answer came." Whatever you do in this life, don't give up. Hold on to your confidence in Christ. Don't throw up your hands and say, "There's no use." Don't throw up your hand and say, well, I've been going through this for such a long time. Some of you have been carrying a burden on your shoulder for years. A burden that God didn't design you to carry. Jesus said, cast what your cares upon me, because I do care for you. And if we can get past that, God doesn't care. God is not concerned. I know he helped others, but he won't help me. We need to move beyond that, because I found out that he's a present help in a time of need. Now, see, here's where we get off at. Because God doesn't move in our timeline, we feel like God's not going to move. Because he doesn't do it instantly, we feel like God is not God. You think about Isaiah prophesied 700 years before the birth of Christ. 700 years, nearly 700 years before Jesus came. He said, behold, a son is coming. A child is going to be born. 700 years later, the Messiah came. We are not those that give up. We're not those that draw back. We are not those that fall into a spirit of hopelessness. We're not those that fall into a spirit of despair. But we are those that keep our eyes on the prize. We keep our eyes on Jesus. So many people are falling by the wayside in these days. The scriptures tell us that was going to happen. I mean, people that have walked with Jesus for years, when trials came, when troubles came, they fell by the wayside. But I present to you tonight, to behold the Lamb of God. What a wonderful name that is. His name is so powerful. Scripture tells us that demons tremble at that name. Demons tremble. And we want to pretend like the name doesn't mean anything. When demons tremble, when you speak that name in faith, he knows we're just saying, oh, Jesus. But he knows when you're speaking that name with authority. He knows when you and I are speaking that name in faith. Satan knows the difference. I think about when Jesus was on the mount we call the Mount of Transfiguration. Three men appeared, Moses and Elijah. And Peter's first thought was, let's make three churches. Let's build three churches right here. One for Peter, one for Elijah, one for Moses, and one for you, Jesus. He said, let's build three of them. But God spoke from heaven. He said, this is my son. Hear him. This is my son. This is my beloved son. That's the one you need to hear. Moses represented the law. Elijah represented the prophets. But he said, now, we're in the place of my son. Hear him. Because that's where the change comes. That's where lives are changed. If there's any change at all has been done in our lives, I can guarantee you it's not by yourself. It's not by your might. It's not by your power. Not by my might, nor by my power. It's by the Spirit of God. He's the only one that can bring change. So I want to encourage you today to behold the Lamb of God. If you can hear what I'm saying today, behold the Lamb of God. You think about Peter, how he denied Jesus. Three times he denied Jesus. And can you imagine how that made him feel? And we have denied Jesus in many ways ourselves. We didn't tell anybody, I don't know the man that started cursing. But sometimes we deny Jesus when we fail to believe that he is who he say he is. That's denying him. When we fail to trust in him, that's denying Jesus. When we fail to realize that he is the Son of the living God, that he's the one that brings a change in your life and my life, that's denying Jesus. But oh, what Peter, when Jesus got in touch with him, when Jesus got a hold to him, he was just think about how he was on a boat. Storms were there. And he saw Jesus walking. He said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come. He got out of the boat, walking to Jesus. But what did he do? Took his eyes off Jesus, and he looked at the storms. How many of you tonight have taken your eyes off Jesus, if you'll admit it, and you're looking at the storms instead? We're looking at the problems instead. We're looking at the issues of life instead, when Jesus came to free us from all of that. We took our eyes off of him. But I say unto every one of us tonight, this is the time to behold the Lamb of God, to get our eyes back on him. Even as the scripture tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the hope of eternal salvation, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Scripture tells us how that the Israelites had sinned so bad. They were fornicating, doing some of everything. And God sent fiery serpents throughout the camp that bit them. Then he spoke to Moses. Now make a brazen serpent of brass. Put it on the pole and lift it up. And everyone that looked to that serpent is going to be healed of the serpent's bite. The serpent's bite was sin. That serpent took the place of their sin. Jesus took the place. He became a curse hanging on that tree for you and I. And God is telling us to look to him. Look up to him. He's the one who took your infirmities. He's the one that took your sin. All he wants to do is believe his word. Because when we don't believe his word, we're saying, God, you're a liar. And I don't think nobody wants to say that. And we don't say it in those words. But when we fail to believe his word, to trust his word, to hold fast to his word, that's what we're saying. I don't believe all that. I know what you're saying. I know I've seen God bless others. But I don't think he'll do it for me. You ever felt that way? Yes. I know many in here tonight have felt that way. I've seen you say, I've seen him do it for others. But then we'll say, but I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Just like the Samaritan woman came. Jesus said, woman, it's not meet to give the children's bread to the dogs. Jesus' mindset was, if you want to refer to me as a dog, fine. But I know you're the one that can help me. Jesus said, I have not found this kind of faith. Many times Jesus healed those outside the church, outside of Israel. Because then he would come back and say, I haven't found this faith, not even in Israel. We say Israel, but we can say the church. I'm telling you, saints of God, God is here to make a change in your life. Jesus is here to help you whatever circumstances you're going through. The one that was cursed for mankind. All the curses were nailed to the tree. So I'm saying to us tonight, behold the Lamb of God. He was our kinsman, redeemer. He's our savior. He's our healer. He's our deliverer. He paid a great price for your freedom. He paid a great price for your liberty. Great price. How great what he did. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. And tonight, I just want to make this short because I want to make sure that in order for God to move in our lives, we got to look to him. Tomorrow morning, in the both services, that if we're not looking to Jesus, whatever is spoken, we won't get any help. Why? Because we come in, we might come in thinking that, oh, woe is me. I've got my lot in life. That's the way it is. Nothing ever going to change in my life. But I want to encourage you this night to realize that Jesus wants to make a change in your life. Do you believe that tonight? How many of you need Jesus? Come on, let's be honest about it. How many of you really need Jesus to make a change in your life? How many of you are going through things, say, Lord, I don't know how much more I can take of this. Huh? Nobody has ever said that, have you? Lord, I don't think I can go another day. Lord, I don't think I can go a moment further. But Jesus said, yes, you can. So I say unto you tonight, as our sister comes, behold the Lamb of God. Looking unto Jesus, keep your eyes on him. Get your eyes off the troubles. Get your eyes off the storm. Get your eyes off the affairs of life. Oh, yeah, they're real. not saying they're real. I'm not minimizing troubles. But what I'm saying that who is greater? The troubles of Jesus. Jesus is greater than any problem. He's greater than any issue we can have in life. This day forward, get your eyes on him. Behold the Lamb of God. This day forward, just make up your mind. I'm going to stop looking at what I'm going through. Because worried about things, it really doesn't change anything. And in closing, let me say this. Years ago, when I lived in the Dallas area, I was riding down Central Expressway. And I was worried about something. Something was heavy on my mind. And then all of a sudden, something came up, and it took away my attention off my problems. And then when that was over, I'm trying to figure out, what was I worried about? Okay, I'm trying to make myself remember what I was worried about. Is that the way we do sometimes? It's like we want to pull up our problems and say, okay, let me meditate on that one for a while. That's not what we need to do. Amen. All right, so we're going to turn you back into the hands of our sister here. Like I said, we're short tonight and by intent, because I want us to be ready to come looking for Jesus to move in a special way in the morning. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Williams, for that word, that reminder to behold the Lamb of God. Amen, amen. We appreciate you so much. Looking forward to tomorrow. So I hope you're going to join us for both services or at least one of those services. Invite someone out as well to join you. Amen. Just a few announcements. Please remember to support the ministry. If you have not had an opportunity to give, please do that. And then we mentioned our new book from last week. If you haven't had an opportunity to get a copy of Show Me Your Glory, there are ways to do that. There should be a graphic where you're able to scan a code to do that. And then tomorrow, as I mentioned, Pastor John Williams will be blessing us again tomorrow in our 9 and 11 a.m. services. So please, please come out and join us. Thank you all for being here. If you'll stand with me, I'm going to pray us out. Lord, we just love you and we thank you, God, for who you are. We thank you for your servant that just came to us tonight to remind us to behold the Lamb of God, and that as a church body, Lord, we are his hands and we are his feet, Lord God, and we are his voice, Lord God. And so just help us to surrender to the Holy Spirit that lives in us, God, so we can show the world who you are, Lord God. Show them your love, God. Show them your grace, your redemption plan for us, God. We love you, God, and we just ask that any monies that are given, Lord God, to the ministry, just be continue to be blessed to meet the needs. Protect everyone as they travel home, Lord God, and protect us all to return here tomorrow morning. We thank you, Lord, for it in advance, and it's in Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. You are dismissed.